Let us all say amen. Amen. And if you don't know that he will fix it after a while, you don't know him. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Once again, I hope and pray all is well with you this morning. Want to welcome those of you that are visiting. I do want you to know that you are honored guests, and we hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that will encourage your heart and to help you to see that in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, if you trust him, if you depend on him, he will take care of everything else. I like that song there because that song there tells me that in the midst of my trials and tribulation, sometime I have to pray a little bit. Sometime I have to cry a little bit. And I'm learning that when I look at the body of Christ, sometimes I have to mourn a little bit. But it's good to see you this morning. And the title of my lesson this morning is Against All Odds. And I want to show you that as members of the body of Christ, as Christians, we're against all the odds are against us. Because if you make up your mind you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to do the will of the Father, guess what? You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some trials and tribulations. And the folks you think like you may not like you, because when you start telling people what thus saith the Lord and how they need to live their lives, boy, screw your wig on, because it may get a little rough in your life. We're going to be looking at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. But really, I'm not going to deal much with it because for the next two nights, got some preachers coming up here, and I'm going to let them exegesis. If you don't know what that means, go look up that word. I'm going to let them exegesis this text. And they're going to give you a little background on it, and I'm looking forward to it, and then I'll be running from that point forward. But this morning, I want to show you that as members of the body of Christ, the odds are against us because we live in this world. Jesus said that in this world, you're going to have some trials, and you're going to have some tribulations. But the attitude of the believer is no matter what transpires, in the midst of these trials and tribulations, I need to depend, I need to trust that Jesus is going to do what Jesus said he's going to do. Amen. And so Jesus says in John chapter 16, I believe, and round about verse number 32, in this world, you're going to have some trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And I'm learning, church, the abundant life that I have in Christ Jesus motivates me and it moves me beyond me. And it helps me to understand that no matter what transpires, I have a Savior that says, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. And you will find rest to your soul. Yes. So when Sister Harmon can't help me and the rest of the Harmons can't help me and you can't help me, I got somebody that says, I'll never leave you. Nor would I forsake you. But you know what? It requires something. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sakes, Jesus says, you will find it. Then he asked the question, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So on this time side of life, when life gets difficult, who do you turn to? Some folks turn to Jack. Some turn to Jim. Some turn to Mary and Jane. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back to sleep. But when things get difficult, who do you turn to? Church, and I'm learning I need to turn to Jesus. But see, when you turn to Jesus, you got to understand that the odds of this world is going to be against you. Matthew chapter 10 and round about verse number 16. Listen to these words that Jesus sends his disciples out. And he reminds his disciples, I need you to go out and spread the gospel. Spread my word. Teach them and guide them. Jesus says in verse number 16, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. What's the odds that a sheep is going to maintain in the midst of a bunch of hungry wolves? Most of the time they can't outrun them, and they work as a pack. Yeah. And so Jesus says, I'm sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves, more than one. And he says, but be ye therefore wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues, and they shall save and shall bring forth, they shall bring you before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour, and what ye shall speak. I know Jesus here is talking to his disciples, 12 of them. But there's an apostolic example. There is an indirect commandment right here in this passage of scripture that in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we shouldn't worry about nothing. How many of y'all are worried this morning? Don't raise your hand because I know you're worried. Because if you live on this time side of life, you are worried about a lot of things. But I'm going to show you, looking at this individual, that when you understand who's in control, the God that you serve, and you serve him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, you worry about nothing. Because an ambassador of Christ understands his position in Christ Jesus. He understands that he's a servant of the Most High God, and nothing or no one can hinder him but himself. And I'm going to show you an individual here that the odds was against him. But he had something going for him. The Bible said he prayed, he fasted, he believed God, and he repented of his sins. And guess what? God heard his prayer. I want to tell you about this man called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, which was the king at that time in Persia. Nehemiah had a very powerful position, but a very dangerous position at the same time. His job was to test everything that went before the king. He was a cupbearer. And I want to show you that Nehemiah had a mindset, an attitude that you and I ought to possess every single day of our life. This man is in captivity, but I want you to watch his mindset. I want you to watch his attitude. When adversity comes upon him, he's not like you and I. He ain't going, whoa, what am I going to do? No, Nehemiah depends on God and God alone. What am I trying to say? In the midst of our trials and tribulations, when you don't have nowhere to turn to, you ought to turn to the one that made you. Amen. If he made you, don't you think he knows what you need and when you need it and how much to give you? Yes, but you know what? He don't work the same way we do. You know, he ain't never on my time, but I learned something. He ain't never late. Amen. And I want to show you this individual here. Nehemiah chapter 1. The word Nehemiah means Lord comfort. That's the word Nehemiah. That's what it means. Nehemiah's in captivity as he serves under Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Nehemiah is an ambassador for God, and he's been placed in a higher position, the cupbearer for the king. Very dangerous job. Because of his poison, guess who's going to die first? Nehemiah, you know good and well he has to depend on God because the king wasn't somebody that most people did not like. But Nehemiah here, in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah received word that Jerusalem, the walls have been broken down and the gates have been burned. And Nehemiah receives confirmation of this from his Some believe it's his brother, Hannah, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4, could be his real brother, but the word Hannah there means kinman.
And so Nehemiah received words, and the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 4, and when it came to pass, and I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned continually certain days, and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. And I want you to go back for time's sake and you read this. Nehemiah is believed to have fasted and prayed for about 4 days. And he is actually asking God and reminding God of some things. You know, because of Israel's disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that? And because of Israel's disobedience, Jerusalem was destroyed. And because of Israel's disobedience and did not keep the commandments of God, God allowed them to go into exile. And they were spread throughout all of the nations at that time. But Nehemiah, as he prays to God, he reminds God of something very important. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and I besought thee, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. Let thy ears now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear my prayers of thy servants, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, for the servants, and confess my sins of the Israel of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. So Nehemiah makes his case before God. And I want you to follow this individual, because Nehemiah here shows me an example of how I ought to be in 2019. I ought to be the most excited person on the face of the earth. I ought to be the most motivated person on the earth. You ought not to be able to move me one inch. But why do you? Because I allow you to. Amen. Don't you know nobody can make you upset but you? You hear me tell you all the time, I only let who I want up here. If I don't want you up here, guess what? I don't care what you can do. I don't care. Chains don't imprison me. It's when you imprison this right here. Now you might have something to say. But I want you to watch Nehemiah, because Nehemiah shows an example. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 8. Nehemiah reminds God of the covenant that he made with Moses. And because of their disobedience, they're scattered abroad. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 11. The Bible says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let thy ears be attentive to the prayers of thy servant and to the prayers of thy servants who desire to hear thy name and prophet. I pray thee, thy servants this day, and grant me mercy in the sight of this man. Don't miss this. Because Nehemiah here is asking God now. I know we've messed up. Anybody here messed up? Anybody mess up? Well, the rest of y'all holy folk, get away from me. But I want you to watch this, because Nehemiah here, as he pleads his case to God, he says, Lord, now I need something from you. Boy, anybody in here need something from God? Boy, anybody in here always begging for something? Somebody know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all just gone on back wherever you at. But I want you to watch Nehemiah here, because the odds are against Nehemiah. But boy, when you serve God, can't nobody stop you. Can't nobody hinder you but yourself. And I've learned to get out the way. But watch Nehemiah. The Bible says in the latter part of verse number 11, Nehemiah says, and I pray thee that thy servant this day and grant me mercy in the sight of this man. What man you think he's talking about? He's talking about the king. Now, you a servant, and you think the king gonna listen to you? Boy, when God's in control, guess what? He make everybody listen. You know, some of y'all old enough to remember E.F. Hutton. Some of y'all remember him, but the rest of y'all ask some of these old folks. They used to say, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I want you to see right here that Nehemiah asked God to make Artaxerxes the king be receptive to him. The Bible says in the latter part of that verse, he said that he may grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 1, and it came to pass in the day in the month of Nish in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, the king, that the wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now, I have never before been sad in his presence. How in the world you gonna be in captivity? You know, the first drink you drink could be your last. And your countenance has always been joyful. Boy, can I get anybody in here always happy? Oh, y'all not? Well, I want you to see Nehemiah here. Because the Bible said he is in captivity. He's the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. The poison that goes into the cup, the king chooses him to drink before the king. But the Bible said he's never been sad in the presence of the king. Can you say that? How many of us been saved? How many of us got the forgiveness of sin? How many of us have been reconciled to God because of our past? How sad are you from time to time? Sometimes. Should never be. Because you've been washed in the blood. You have been forgiven of your sins. You got a brand new life. And we walk around sad and miserable. Half of us are like Rover. You know how he is, don't you? Dead all over. But I want you to watch Nehemiah. Because Nehemiah shows me as a Christian that it's not so much what I say, it's the life that I live before everyone else. Nehemiah here, the Bible said he was never sad in the presence of the king. Wherefore, verse number 2, when the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very so afraid. I wonder why Nehemiah is afraid. Because all of a sudden now, the king has called into play who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah, you ain't sick. You ain't never been sad before me. What's wrong, Nehemiah? This is only something that's going on in your heart. And I want you to watch this, because Nehemiah shows me an example that against all the odds, if you trust God, if you depend on God, you can't stop God from doing his will. I'm reminded that when Paul and Gamaliel, and there was an individual that raised up a group of people, and they were going to slay him. See, this is for Bible scholars. You'll have to go back and find out who I'm talking about. But Gamaliel say, hold up, hold up. Leave them alone. Because if it's of God, ain't a thing you can do about it. But if it's not of God, guess what? It'll come to naught. And then Gamaliel said, be careful lest you find yourself fighting against God. Who am I talking about? Anybody know? Okay, I'll leave it alone. But Nehemiah here, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and the king said unto, I'm sorry, verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, what wilt thou make? For what do the make the request? Nehemiah is asked by the king, what do you want me to do? Wait a minute, he's a slave. He's a cupbearer. And now all of a sudden, the king is going to ask him, what do you want me to do? The Bible says in verse number 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would have sent me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I might build it. And the king said unto me and the queen sitting beside him, how long shall thy journey? Boy, all of a sudden now. But I want you to listen to what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah understands who's in control. The Bible says, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto him, King, if it please the king, let letters be given me to thy governors beyond the rivers, that I may convey me over till I come unto Judea. He also asked Asaph to give a letter to him that he might get wood from his forge. Boy, Nehemiah says, I know who did this. Look at what he says in verse number 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that I may get timber to make beams for the gates and for the palace, which are at approach to the house, and for the walls of the city, and the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God unto me. That's some powerful stuff, church. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that when you put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, can't nothing stop you. Can't nothing hinder you. Nehemiah here not only gets letters. Keep reading. Nehemiah gets letters to get wood. Not only does the king give him that, the king sends his army to protect Nehemiah. And Nehemiah goes and they rebuild the walls. And you got to know some history. See, if you had a fortress, you had a wall around it. And if the wall was broke down, guess what? The enemy could get you. You had gates that were fortified the walls. And the Bible says they rebuild the walls to half its size. But Nehemiah chapter 4, I want to show you really the key to what I'm trying to say. Attitude. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, so we build the walls, and all the walls were joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Can't stop us if we do what God says to do. Can't hinder us if we develop the mind that God would have us develop. Against all odds, I know sometimes it seems like Satan is running rampant in the world in which we live in. And I know sometimes he seems like he just tears us every way but loose. But the odds are he doesn't have the victory. You and I do. Amen. And I want to encourage us and remind us that against the odds of living on this time side of life, yeah, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some trials and tribulations. But you know what? We serve a God that said, I'll never leave you, nor would I forsake you. Against the odds, yes, the odds is that if you live in this world, you're going to have some trials and tribulations. But one thing about living in this world, you can have peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of everything that goes on. What do you mean? You got to cast your cares on Christ. You got to depend on God, and you got to allow God to operate the way he wants to operate in your everyday life. See, God even makes our enemies at peace with us. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7. God even gives us the desires of our heart. Proverbs 16, round about 10. And I'm learning, church, the more we're in harmony with God, Satan has to leave us alone. He has to wait till he finds the weak point in our lives. And I want to encourage each and every one of us as this year continues to unfold. Stay on track. Don't allow Satan to get the upper hand. He has no say-so over you unless you give it to him. That's right. I'm learning the world don't dictate to me. And let me drop this in. Neither do the White House. Huh? You know why? Because he's in that position because my God put him there. Uh-oh, you better read your Bible. And he's there to remind us who reigns supreme. God, Jesus said, don't fear him who can destroy the body and have nothing else to do with it. But I tell you who you ought to fear. Fear God. Amen. For he's able to destroy both body and soul and then cast it into Gehenna. That's hell, in case you didn't understand. That's the second death. That's the fire that burns forever. I want to encourage us and remind us as this week unfolds. Stay on track, church. Cast all your cares upon him because God really cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Beware, Satan is out to destroy you, but he can't touch you
As long as you walk in the light as he is in the light. And what does that mean? That means you got to keep a checkup from the neck up to who you really serve. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. Examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove to yourself that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Hebrew writer reminds us that God said he'll never leave us, nor would he forsake us. So with boldness we may say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do to me. Nehemiah is an example, church, an example of how you and I ought to live our lives on this time side of life. Excited, yes. Motivated, yes. I know one day I got to leave here. Amen. Not worried about it. Mm-hmm. He's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. I ain't got no crown down here. Mm-hmm. I got a crown of mercy. I got a crown of misery. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But one day, there's not going to be any more pain. Revelation chapter 21 and round about verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There shall be no more pain, no more suffering. For the latter things will be passed away. Behold, he said, all things will become new. I don't know about you. See, that's what excites me, to know that on this time side of life, if I can find one brother or one sister that can say amen, that motivates me. That pulls me to understand that I can do it on this time side of life. But you know what I'm learning? I need you. Amen. Just like you need me. I need you to remind me, to encourage me, and I need to do the same thing, because we are members one of another, and God has placed us in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as it pleased him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse number 25, because of him placing us in the body, guess what? There's no schisms. Amen. That's what I like about God, because God sees beyond what you and I see. And as I close in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and round about verse number 51, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And see, and this is what drives me and motivates me, to know that one day he's going to call us all from labor to the other side. And only those that live up to what he commands are going to be the ones that will enter into his rest. But Paul says here to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in the moment, in the twink of the eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and round about verse number 8 and following, blessed are those that die in the Lord, for they rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. And we shall not precede them that have gone on before us. See, that's what motivates me. That's why I tell my wife, when I leave here, don't worry about me. I'm going to get my crown. And guess what? You ain't going to take it from me. Amen. And that's the attitude that the believer needs to have. The believer needs to be so confident and so assured in what they believe in. Because I believe the time is going to come. Oh, yeah. The time will come when men will no longer say that he's the Son of God. Well, look at it now. Hatred runs rampant. Immorality runs rampant. Satan is loose. And sad to say that some of us have been caught up in it. I've been a victim. But I'm learning that if I stay focused on Jesus Christ, he's the author. He's the finisher of all mankind. He says in verse number 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then when this corruptible has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says to the believers, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's how you stay on track. You got to get busy.
And if you ain't busy, I know you're busy for that other fellow. Oh, I'm learning. There's only one. There ain't no in between. And you know, anybody like to travel the fence? Oh, come on, give me one witness. Please, give me one witness. Jesus says, I would that you were hot or cold. But since you're not hot or cold, but lukewarm, Jesus says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, you make him sick. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart, church. To those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. Amen. We're on track, I believe, and I think we're doing some things here that is really causing each and every one of us to think about our soul salvation. Amen. The wise man Solomon said, iron sharpens iron. Amen. And so as long as you stay sharp, guess what? You can help me stay sharp. Amen. And as long as you stay motivated, guess what? We can stay motivated together. Amen. Satan has no say-so over us. And we ought to act like victorious people. Amen. Instead of victims. Yes. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to be a victim. Amen. Neither physically. Amen. Amen. So if you're breaking my house, I got to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Let me real quickly as I close. Man had two Doberman pinschers. And the Dobermans was in the house. Thief broke in. The dog laid there and watched him. He gathered all his stuff together. Got ready to leave, and the dog said, where you going? What am I trying to tell you? Physically, I've made up my mind I don't want to be a victim. And I refuse to allow Satan to hold me hostage spiritually. That's when I mess up, I fess up. I tell God, Lord, I blew it. Please help me to have your mindset. Yes, I know I'm not much, but I know you made me. And if I'm made in your image, what can stop me? What can hinder me? And you tell me, well, I got to surrender my will. Okay, it's hard, but I'm willing to do it. Those of you that are visiting this morning, you've heard the gospel according to what thus saith the Bible. John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, the things that are written aforehand was written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the scripture might have eternal life. God sent Jesus for one purpose, to reconcile you and I back to him. That's right. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated how much he loved humanity. He loved us so much, he gave the very best. And you know what? He asked two things of us. Love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Love my neighbor as ourselves. The Bible says you heard the word this morning. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of a living God? Yes. Matthew 10, 32, 33. We'll bury you in water for the remission of your sin. You'll come up out of the watery grave. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, previous to this text, says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. That's right. That's what motivates me. I may not amount to nothing down here, but I'm an ambassador, and I'm willing to get dirty. Amen. Bloody. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for the kingdom of God, because you know why? I got a promise. I got a guarantee, and I got a whole lot of them down here, but, you know, half of them run out at certain miles. Yeah, I got a guarantee And that guarantee is Revelation chapter 2, if I'm faithful to death, he'll give me a crown that fadeth not away. Members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you, stay up, stay motivated, stay uplifted, because for you and I, it's best that we don't know the truth. Amen. Peter says it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, don't give you no shoe in. Just because you go in that watery grave, they don't give you no shoe in. James said, faith without works is dead. What do you mean, James? Get busy. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.